One thing that you had said earlier, Jeremy, and I thought this was wonderful, and you'd mentioned it, but I think it stands to be kind of elaborated a little bit, is how order is it helps us understand the Trinity properly as well.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned it, but I think that's a really powerful understanding of things. When you can say God the Father, God the Son,
yeah,
and God the Holy Ghost,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is you know, that they are all God.
Yeah.
They're all perfect. It's all, they're one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, understanding, like you said, the Holy Spirit's there to point to Christ. Mm. Christ is there to do the will of the Father.
Yes.
And understand that even within the Trinity, there is order.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why would we?
It's not homogenous.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Father's not the Son, and the Son's not the Holy Spirit,
yep,
right?
Yep. Yep.
And so I'm not a woman.
Phew. Right?
You know, right. I don't care what the emojis say. God's not giving me the ability to birth children.
You're not confused.
Right. Yeah. But even that you think about, you know, and I oftentimes we'll joking, you know, truth and gist, we've not been given the glorious responsibility to carry a child,
mm-hmm,
to birth a child, to nurture that child.
Yeah.
That's intrinsic in the very being of a woman.
The creation mandate, the taking dominion, could not take place without that.
Absolutely.
Right? Because God did not give men wombs.
Right.
He'd have to clone. Like this is how God chose to work.
Absolutely. And you're right. The satanic battle has been the same since the beginning of time. And it's to blur those roles, yes, and responsibilities.
Blur the lines. Yeah. Did God really say, you know, isn't every tree the same? Can't you, mm-hmm, eat from all the trees,
right,
equally?
Yeah. Questioning God's word.
Yeah. 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 God made a specific tree not to eat from. Right. That's a diversity.
God's
tree.
Holding something from
yep.
you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, ladies, you've just been oppressed. You know, because, mm-hmm, you know, this angry God of the Old Testament wants to just oppress everybody, I guess, you know,
yeah,
and the man's, okay, they just, this is a patriarchal world. They want to dominate. See, that's the wrong definitions. It's Satan whispering once again, did God,
yes,
really mean this? Did he mean it this way?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets
that's
that
right.
question, and they begin to doubt God's design, God's word. Yeah. He appealed to woman's intellect, and yet it played on Adam's emotions, and that's a role reversal.
That is good.
And
that
we have
good.
Battled the role reversal, and in a fallen world, you're seeing it run amok today in our society.
Yeah, to where we literally say that a man can be a woman at one.
Right.
Man.
Hit that thing again.
How confused are we?
Oh, we need to wrap up, or what you think? You can go another direction.
How long have we got? I mean, if we got some time, I'd
keep shucking corn, brother. Keep shucking corn if you're good.
So, he's got time, so let's go
if
one more
worst
direction.
Case scenario, we break it up into two podcasts.
All right.
So let me get your thoughts. I had talked a little bit about it earlier, how this plays in ecclesiology,
yeah,
with the role of women in the church.
Okay, well, again, if you're paying any attention to Scripture, clearly Scripture does not allow for women pastors. Okay, let's start there. It's just like the home. The woman is not the man. The man is not the woman. The role and the responsibility that's been given by God, and that's who gave it, all right? He's the head of the church. He's the Lord of the church. And so he designed it as such. And and so I, again, it don't bring me your feelings and your emotions or you know, well, they could do a better job at it. Those are all irrelevant arguments.
My scripture,
Beth Moore may be a better speaker to me.
There's a certain famous quote by Ben Shapiro, but I'm going to tweak it a little bit. My scripture does care about your feelings, and that's why it's rebuking them.
Oh, nice. Okay. I like that. Yeah, so there again, starting with that, first off, there's order within the church. Corinthians talks about it. God does things decently and in order.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
You see it reflected in the Godhead. You see it in every institution, and especially within the church, because we're a lighthouse to the world. So we start there. What are those roles that God has given? Okay, because again, just within the home, I don't birth the children. That's a responsibility God has entrusted to the woman. There are things within, Titus 2, right, within the church. Women, older women teaching younger women. I think that's an important part of a lack within our churches today, because if we go and look at those things that he gives in that passage, it's not speaking to just culture. It's speaking to, again, the very nature of women. And that nature's not found in men.
That's right.
To me, those are the key things when we go through the Bible, and you can see the very nature of men, of man in the Bible, men in the Bible, and the distinctness and the nature of women in the Bible. And those roles and responsibilities are spelled out as such, too.
And the sinful, and when we all sin in the way that God didn't intend for us to live, as in, you know, women wanting to be pastors, right?
Right.
Women wanting to take over the man's authority.
Mm-hmm.
Men wanting to be passive, effeminate.
Right.
Or men wanting to sinfully crush, suppress.
Yeah.
Those under them. First Peter warns against even the pastor from, hey, you're going to be judged if you do not lead rightly. Right. Romans 13.
That's right.
God commands the government to be his deacon, to be his servant, and they will be judged if they do not do rightly. So when we are redeemed from our sins, we should follow more in line with the roles God has planned for us.
Amen.
And what you just said is a good reminder of the very fact that as men, we are held responsible for what happens in our homes.
Yes.
So when a husband allows for his wife to live in an ungodly manner or out of order,
right,
he's responsible for that.
Yes.
That's why when you pointed out that Adam was the one called out for the sin in Romans 5, which is, I think, where you're pulling it from.
Right.
When Adam and not Eve is called out for the sin of disobeying God, it's because Adam was responsible.
Yes.
That's what headship is.
Absolutely.
I may not have, my kid may have been the one to steal something. I'm responsible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anything that happens under my family,
my job to take that kid and walk him back into the store and say, look, I have to make an apology. My son did this.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so here again, that back into the church, it's no different, right?
Yeah.
That responsibility to lead has been entrusted to the elders, to the pastors of the church. And I am a firm believer there should be, in best case scenarios, plurality of pastors.
Yes.
I don't think you should be hard-nosed, because I think you can make argument.
Man and woman, yeah.
Sorry,
I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. David's like,
he's reading the wrong scriptures, brother. Pray for me.
I'll just work. David's like, I'll just work for nothing.
So
I'm going to have to start praying harder.
Harder.
But when you look in the again, I don't think there can be, and I've heard cases made that in an early church start there may be a single lead. But I think the goal is to always expand into a plurality, right, of elders, and that's for accountability's sake. But it still rests with, there's always going to be a lead. Even if you got a plurality, there's going to be a person taking point. And so they set the tempo. They set the tone. They are responsible. there needs to be accountability within the church. You know, just as we find in our relationship with the Lord, those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And so when it comes to those things, it's important.
And there is room for the church to correct the pastor.
Absolutely.
And just like there's room for whenever I've sinned in front of my children,
yes,
and they say, Daddy, and my little girl will. She'll go, yes. Daddy.
Yes.
And she'll hold up her little yes. fist at me, right?
Oh, yeah.
And immediately I'm like,
right.
I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I need to ask forgiveness to God.
Absolutely.
And so there is room for that.
But it must also be done decently and in order.
Yes.
And too
often, there again, there's an order.
Right. Because, you know, for example, an accusation against a pastor, according to Scripture, is not to be received, not even received, without two or three witnesses.
Exactly.
So again, it all comes back to God's word, God's order, God's authority, which is, by the way, in the masculine, God the Father.
God the Father.
Isn't it funny how it all reflects back to a father rule?
That's right.
That's right.
A father rule. To God be the glory. He is our Abba. He is our Father.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't set this up. He did.
That's right.
I just simply want to yield in obedient faith to his desire.
Chocolate Knox, right, from Cross Politic, is some of Doug Wilson's group crowd, right?
That's Friends a white guy, them. Right?
Okay. He's got this wonderful way of putting it there, that Christians have lost the center, meaning that, you know, the Bible calls us ambassadors.
Right.
Ambassadors of Christ. What do ambassadors do? Hey, there's a king. You're supposed to obey him.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. We don't go, well, you know, the king says this, you say this, let's try to be fine. Right. No. Pastor says, hey, we come to tell you about the king, about his way of leading and ruling, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're not doing a podcast today on presuppositional apologetics, but that's part of that.
That'd be
is,
a good one.
Hey, this is the authority.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're supposed to obey it.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed we've done is we've really gone hard against egalitarian and the slippery slope to egalitarianism.
Yeah.
What is the difference between biblical, I just had to smart tail comment and answer my own question. What is the difference between biblical patriarchy and worldly patriarchy?
Again, glad you're talking about that. Because I wonder how many folks won't get past the first couple of minutes because they have that wrong mindset.
Turn it off.
Right.
They're talking about patriarchy.
Right. The term itself. Is, which I want to, maybe before I answer the question, let me throw this out there. If the word's been hijacked, should you keep using it? Let me just give you a scenario. I used the word gay earlier, right? I would assume you don't typically use that term when describing your brother's happy.
Yeah, I mean, David had a real gay morning at the yard sale.
Right. David, did you have a gay morning? So, but, I mean, I'm just using this as an example. There's a reason, though, we wouldn't
use
that.
His eyes are just dying inside. My podcast.
But, no. But I'm pointing that out to raise a question. We used to, when I was in school, Bible college, we used to say, would you change the name of your church if you thought Baptist was offensive? And I always love that question and conversation because you'd have some people say, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be a stumbling block and blah, 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 blah. But think about it. The Baptist distinctives represent something, don't
Amen.
They? Well, what right. about then biblical patriarchy? Should we change it just because it's been hijacked, you know? Or do you just leave it out there that everybody is going to take the AR as an assault rifle?
Yeah.
You follow what I said?
Yep, yeah. Right, the rainbow. Right, the rainbow.
Right, the rainbow.
Yeah.
See, these are terms in our society have been hijacked.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
My instinct is to say, no, this is what it is.
That's right. Ambassadors of Christ.
Now, I can also make a case out of, you used gay. That's a good one, right?
Right, right.
Is taking back the word gay worth the effort, right? versus is taking back the term Baptist worth the effort?
Okay? Good point.
Taking back the word patriarchy, is it worth the effort? And considering that that they tried that and it just led to a leftward slope, I think that patriarchy is the term that is worth fighting for, because it makes a firm plant. It says, here I stand.
Yeah.
Right? And I think there are terms that are worth saying. Here I stand. And I think Baptist can be that way, because like, when you brought up the Baptist distinctives, I'm like, yes.
Right.
Because I am convictionally a Baptist, not just because I was raised that way, right?
Right.
Like I, you know,
people gave their life,
yes,
for those things, in essence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm. Are there certain terms that it's like, all right, he's still calling a bundle of sticks faggots?
Right.
Right. You know, I told you this earlier, you know, reading Spurgeon, and he said, throw some faggots on the fire, you know.
Right, right.
Me being like 18, I was like, ah! Yeah,
right.
That's hilarious!
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I mean, you know, so.
Just thinking of a big old bonfire.
You know, I mean.
For those who haven't looked up the term, it's a bundle of sticks.
All right. Yeah. You know,
but, yeah.
And so I'm not. There again, I'm not going to war over that.
Right.
I will go over to war over properly defining principles that are in the Word of God.
And I think that's why James, using that term biblical patriarchy,
yes,
brings the distinction that's necessary to our culture. Because we would all agree, let's say it loud and clear, because I'm sure some people, they're going to pick up on just the buzzwords that we've been throwing around here, and somehow that we are sexist, we're homophobic, we are dictators. I mean, you know,
we'll
get lumped in, but then that's fine. That's just what some people would do in a soundbite age. But when you think about biblical patriarchy, it says we agree with you. We're not to be dominant.
Yes.
That's Jesus. Again, the Word of God is clear. That's going to be my battle as a man. I'm going to want to. My wife's going to want my role and responsibility. That's in her fallen nature. That's part of the sin curse. She's going to struggle against that, like a lion waiting to pounce, sin at your door.
Yes.
It's that same rage within a woman that's
going
to want
to
do that.
Going back to the idea, husbands, love your wives.
Yeah.
And wives, not love your husbands back.
Mm.
Respect your husbands. Yeah,
submit and respect.
And there is a core need for a husband to have the respect of his wife.
Yes.
And there is a core need for a wife to need the love of her husband.
Yes.
And when a husband is not loving, and there again, here's a word that we ought to fight for, love.
Yeah.
Because the world uses love in a completely different manner than
we
do.
New definition.
And so when we talk about love, we're talking about treating someone in that right order in which God has established.
Amen.
You know, that verse, husbands love your wives, wives respect your husbands, it's presupposing that men and women are in essence different.
Yeah.
Not just functionally.
Right.
But in essence different.
Now,
and to be fair, elsewhere in Scripture, it does command the wife to love the husband.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it's Titus, older women teach the young women to love their husbands. But that verse there is aiming for, in essence, you are different, and you both need to meet that difference.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the difference between a worldly patriarchy and a...
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice,
that's
and opens
right.
the door, I will come in.
That's right. That's like the best children's verse ever.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's good. Suffer not the little children.
It's actually talking about the church.
Yeah, that's right. Not necessarily that's right. It's not a salvation call.
It's talking about the
church. No, that's good. We was taking a moment to do a little
side gig.
Flannel Bible teaching there.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So now I got to where was
in essence, so that verse is presupposing they're different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the world says, masculinity. Let's put throw this in there as well. Masculinity. Boy, I'm going to wind up spanking somebody.
Hey, now don't be domineering.
Don't provoke those children to wrath.
masculinity is this attitude of you need to put yourself first, and it's same thing with feminist movement.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I started to say femininity, but that's not right. Mm. But with the feminist movement, it says women put yourselves first. Mm. The
masculine movement says the same thing about the men. Right. The men put yourself first.
Right. Biblical patriarchy says that the husband puts his family first. Biblical femininity says that wives and mothers put your family first.
Biblical masculinity and biblical femininity do not direct your attention toward yourself.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But what does the Bible say about do not think of yourself, but think of others better than yourself?
Esteem others greater than self.
Esteem others Absolutely. Greater than yourself.
Well, and that goes back to Christ telling the parable of when the man goes to sit at the head of the table and then he gets removed, right? He's like, that's not your spot. That's someone else's. Well, that's embarrassing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing how practical that is.
Absolutely.
And so as Christians, what we want to do is to always point others to Christ, always be serving others.
Yes.
Always be loving. And there again, loving in Scripture is an action word that means you are serving. You are helping. You are and there again, and when we say helping, sometimes helping means you are leading them. You are taking charge over them.
Yes.
And so, I mean, here, let's get real controversial. That's what biblical slavery was, right? Somebody would go into so much debt that they weren't, or they couldn't feed their family or that kind of thing.
Take care of
and
themselves.
And it says, hey, you are allowed to put yourself into servitude to someone else so that your family can eat.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so...
That's you're about to open up a can of worms there.
Yeah, that's not worth the whole.
But I want to start closing. But I wanted you just hit on it. I think this is be a good way to close out. Rapid fire. We've made a lot. We've covered a lot of ground. What's some good applications here? Okay, we've talked about biblical patriarchy, right? And you just mentioned.
I want to stop you real quick, and we'll come right back to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I do have one more thing.
Okay.
Recently, I heard someone saying, I can't remember, I wish I could, that we are living not in a patriarchy, but a matriarchy. I see what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because the culture around us says, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. So I think that push is purposeful and intentional, but it will never be.
Yeah.
And the reason it will never be, even if it succeeded, let's just say, because in all the cultures in the world, it would potentially have a go in the Western world, specifically here in the U.S. And I think it was in It's Good to Be a Man where they talk about it will always, there will always be a patriarchal rule.
The verse that pops in my head is, you are of your father, the devil. And so you're either of God or of the devil. You're either the sheep or the goat. There is nothing in between. And so if you're not one of God's children, you are of your father, the devil. There's no room for matriarchy.
No matter
where the world goes.
And because again, it's going to always lead to, and this is the interesting thing. It's the idea of, again, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. So the opposite is happening. The matriarchs think they're going to gain it, and in what they think in the gain will actually result in a loss. Because you talk about the things that you thought the man was about, they will show it, because some evil communist, oppressive dictator will squish you underfoot and rule and reign in a oppressive manner if that should ever happen.
In matriarchy, you can only push for the collapse of society.
That's where it ends.
And so when there is a collapse of society, you maybe get to the point of that collapse even, but what has to come back out of it is a patriarchy.
Yeah.
If you push, it's just kind of like that old saying that strong men make good times make weak men, weak men make strong. I got confused, but anyway.
I know what you're saying.
It's this cycle.
Yep.
The matriarchy can only push to destruction because it is going against the will of God.
Right.
And once that time comes, hopefully there would be revival.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, a lot of times what happens is a strong man stands up and he takes over in an abusive, controlling way.
Right.
And so what would have been better is an attitude of service and a patriarchy that was based off of the Bible.
Right.
So that within good order,
you
would see flourishing.
Yes. So the question is asked, which would you rather have? Good patriarchy or bad patriarchy? Because those are your two choices in
that's
the
right,
end.
That's right. That's right. Good patriarchy.
Biblical patriarchy.
Biblical patriarchy. Mm-hmm. Or... will you be a slave to righteousness or a slave to wickedness, to sin?
Yes.
The Bible, you're going to be a slave either way.
One way or the other. Yeah. But look at our own society, to your point, and this is a great point. I'm glad you brought this up. You look at just our culture and how it has dissolved, and specifically in certain segments of our society where there's been a fatherless, there's been an absent of fathers. And we can say what we want. Again, people want to say, oh, well, it's because of an oppressive system. No, the system that's been broken is the one that Satan broke when he tempted Eve, and then she was deceived, and then Adam chose to disobey God. That's the system that was broke.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so now you can look at the results of matriarchy. Again, that's not to say, I can't say this loud enough or clear enough. Women, we're not saying that you don't have the ability. We're saying that's not God's role for you.
That's right.
We're not saying you don't have the ability, but God has not equipped you. He's not called you, maybe is a better term, to do that leadership role.
That's right.
And so you can look at the evidence of our own society that has gone matriarchal. Feminist movement has brought in not a better society. It's brought in chaos and destruction.
Well, it's brought in the murder of millions of children. It's brought in the a class of men who are confused, lazy, and selfish.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it.
So tell me how we're better off.
Yeah.
We're not.
That's right. Yeah.
All right.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It brought up one question to me. In that sin that Adam and Eve did, right? Who was the victim there?
Say that again.
So we just mentioned you have these people blaming everything on everybody else, right? No responsibility.
The earth. The earth got cursed, and it didn't have anything to do.
there is a point there, but. Eve was not the victim. Mm. Adam was not the victim. Who was the victim there? Jesus.
Mm.
At that point, who was the victim there? Jesus. Why? Because from before the foundations of the earth, right?
Can I be really, really honest with you?
I'm not trying to turn this into a Calvinism debate.
Hush, I ain't talking about Calvinism. It is really uncomfortable to refer to Christ as a victim. But I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I mean when I say
that. Yeah. I'm just.
It pleased the Father.
If that went through my,
that's right.
I'm just sitting here thinking. If I had that kind of
the reason I say that is,
good point.
There's only been one person in the world who has died because of what someone else did. Right. When I die, it's because of my sins. When you die, it's going to be because of your sins. Yeah. When you die, it's going to be because of your sins. But there is one person in the world who has died because of what someone else did, and that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. So when I say victim, that's what I'm referring to.
And here again, definitions matter.
That's right.
Your definition is different than the world's definition.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And not only did he die, he took the wrath of God upon him because of our sin.
That's right.
That's right.
And so, no, I mean, you're absolutely right.
All right, so quick fire rapid applications of biblical patriarchy. What does this look like in our day-to-day life? What are some good applications that people can take away from this? Well, where do we go from here? Mm. I don't spare the rod. I have the authority to discipline my children, right? I share things with my wife. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. And I listen to her. At the end of the day, I do get to make a final say. The Bible gives me the authority. Mm-hmm. And I pray that I'm right, because I'll be judged for making a sinful decision.
Mm-hmm. You make those decisions, again, as you said.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
with your helpmate. Yeah, you don't enter into those lightly. A biblical patriarch is as Christ loved the church and gave his life for. There's a sacrificial love, but just as, and this is important to note, to your point, Jesus doesn't, he doesn't, it says that she is to submit in everything. The church submits to the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He ain't asking for my opinion. He don't want, you know what I'm saying? That's he don't right. need yeah. mine in That's this right. in that sense. He does what he does. He's God. In that sense, when I look at that passage, to your point, Christ is the head, and he says that husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. So that sacrificial love is in play when you lead your wife, when you counsel your wife and guide and lead your life.
Christ died for the church. He calls husbands to, if need be, die for the wives.
Right. I want to share this before we close out. I know you said lightning round, but these are some great quotes that I have found in the article I cited earlier. Listen to this. Where patriarchy is already absent, dysfunction and desperation have multiplied.
Mm.
He goes on and says, what school or church or city center or rural hamlet is better off when fathers no longer rule?
Mm.
Where communities of women and children can no longer depend upon men to protect and provide. The result's not freedom and independence. 50 years of social science research confirms what common sense and natural law never forgot. As go the men, so goes the health of families and neighborhoods. The choice is not between patriarchy and enlightened democracy, but between patriarchy and anarchy.
Hmm. When godly men don't exist, tyranny reigns.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. So that's the practical takeaway. Men, lead.
That's right.
Lead biblically.
Act like men.
Yes.
The ESV translates it, act like men.
Lead.
So that being said,
not as tyrants.
That leads us to Christian nationalism.
That's our next topic, right? There's another one of those loaded terms. Yes.
Get your definitions right.
That's right. Get your definitions right. Because if you're watching the news, you're going to have a whole other definition. But I'd say that's the takeaway. Men, lead biblically, because if we love as Christ loved, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be submitted to that? I'm submitted to the love of Christ.
Who doesn't want to be loved by Christ?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So a wife should want to be loved by a husband in the same way.
Yeah. And the only way we're going to understand biblical patriarchy is in the redemption of Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll never be the man of God. I'll never be the man of God.
That's right.
Apart from the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and submission to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
What woman doesn't want that? What family doesn't want that?
Amen.
Yeah. I think I'm going to add on to what you were saying in this sense, that as men, when we make those decisions, motive matters.
Mm.
Motive matters. And if you're in a decision, let's say it's not necessarily a clear-cut biblical thing, like, are we going to go to church every Sunday? All right, so, yes, all right, husbands may, but it's a wisdom or something to that. Are you willing to put your, to forsake the wants and desires of your wife for your own selfishness? Right? And I think a biblical patriarchy would say no. That you want to bring joy to your wife.
Amen.
You want to take the workload off of her. You want to serve her. You want to you know, I think what that can turn into, what I'm saying can turn into, is where it's like every feminist thing, every pastor who is that complementarian goes, so men wash the dishes. Well, okay, right, maybe, but what it really means is men put your wives first, and that doesn't necessarily mean taking her role. What it means is putting her first, and understanding what the Bible says about these roles determines how we go about that.
Well said. Absolutely.
Man, Pastor Jeremy, I appreciate you sitting down with us.
Oh, guys, it's been a joy. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's been a good podcast.
I've enjoyed it very much. Appreciate y'all.
Well, fellas, I don't know about you, but how does that old line go now? I'm so bad with lines. I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. But I'm with you, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, this has been great.
Men Alive.
I'm hoping to.
Man Alive.
That's right.
Men Alive.
It's because Men Alive, we get to have conversations like this.
That's right.
How many people are neglected by not having decent biblical conversations?
Because of the Man Alive from the grave. Yeah, Men Alive, find us on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube. Email us at menaliveinchrist@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about the episode. Let us know any verses that you think goes along with what we're talking about. Put them in the comments. And thanks for watching.
What about Deborah?
That's right. We didn't talk about Deborah.
That's the
judgment.